prayer timings. It is incumbent upon the Muslims to pray 5 times a day. The time of each prayer is as follows: Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, and Isha. When the whiteness of the dawn emerges from the darkness of the night, then this is Fajr. When the sun starts to descend from midday, then this is Dhuhr. When the sun descends below the line of sight, then this is Asr. The time of sunset is Maghrib. When the redness of dusk disappears, this is Isha. The time of Fajr remains till sunrise. The time of Dhuhr remains till Asr begins. The time of Asr remains till Maghrib. The time of Maghrib remains till Isha. And the time of Isha remains till midnight. The times of sunrise and sunset are prohibited for praying, since the sun used to be worshipped at these times. Like the rituals and utterances of the prayer, these prayer timings have also been transmitted to us through the consensus and perpetual adherence of the Ummah. These timings have remained the same during the era of other prophets as well. The Quran, while referring to these timings at various places, says, "And diligently attend to your prayer in both parts of the day, and in some part of the night too, because good deeds make amends for sins. This is a reminder for those who want to be reminded." Surah 11, verse 114. Diligently attend to your prayers from the time of the sun's descent to nightfall, and especially the recital in the Fajr prayer, because the Fajr prayer is in the presence of the Almighty. And get up in this manner at night also for the prayer. This is an additional duty upon you, on the fulfillment of which your Lord hopefully may elevate you on the Day of Judgment to an honorable status. Surah 17, verse 78-79. And give glory to your Lord and praise Him before sunrise and before sunset, and in a similar manner, glorify Him at night and at the two sides of the day, also so that you may become happy. Surah 20, verse 130. Therefore give glory to God evening and morning, and know that praise is showered on Him in the heavens and the earth, and glorify Him at the time of Isha and of Dhuhr. Surah 30, verses 17-18. And give glory to your Lord and praise Him before sunrise and before sunset, and give glory to Him at some time of the night, and also after the sun's prostrations. Surah 50, verses 39-40. The details of the guidance provided by the knowledge and practice of the Prophet ﷺ in this regard are as follows. He would generally offer the Fajr prayer in the darkness of night. Thus it has been reported that when women wrapped in their cloaks would return from the mosque after the Fajr prayer, they could not be recognized. He has asked the Muslims to refrain from the Dhuhr prayer at midday and told them that this is the time when hell is sizzling hot. He would generally ask people to offer this prayer in summers when the heat would lessen. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 90, number 533, and Muslim Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 249, number 1397. He would offer the Asr prayer when the sun would be high and fully shining. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 92, number 550, and Muslim Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 251, number 1408. He would offer the Maghrib prayer early and would offer the Isha prayer late. It has been reported that he would dislike sleeping before Isha and sitting up and talking once it had been offered. If one rak'ah of a prayer has been offered before its time ends, it is his directive that the prayer should be completed, and it shall be considered as being offered on time. Consequently, it has been narrated that he said that a person who offers one rak'ah of Fajr before sunrise and one rak'ah of Asr before sunset, he should rest assured that these prayers have been offered on time. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 245-246, number 1374, and Muslim Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 234-236, number 1930. He is also reported to have said that if a person sleeps, then it is not his fault if he misses the prayer. However, if a person leaves a prayer while being awake, then he is certainly at fault. Therefore, if anyone forgets to offer the prayer or is asleep at the time of prayer, he should offer it as soon as he realizes it. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 99, number 597, and Muslim Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 276-278, numbers 1562 and 1566, and Al-Nasa'i Sunan 84, number 616. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has emphasized that a Muslim must vigilantly observe the time which is prohibited for the prayer. Consequently, he is reported to have said that after the Fajr prayer, no one should pray until sunrise, and after the Asr prayer, no one should pray until sunset. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 97, number 586, and Muslim Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 333, number 1921. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said that if a ruler delays the prayer, Muslims should pray themselves and then later join him in congregation. Reference Muslim Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 260, number 1465. A little deliberation would show that these prayer timings are, in the words of Imam Amin Hassan Islahi, very apt for worship, conducive for a supplication, soothing for the mind of a believer, harmonious with the worship done by the elements of nature, and congruous with the prostrations of the sun and the moon, the trees and the stones. The time of Fajr is a very special time in which a person is mentally free and is peaceful at heart. When a person gets up at this time after resting at night, his heart is very serene. A new step is taken for worship, and a new initiative is required at this time, and this new initiative requires new resolve and guidance from the Almighty. The Dhuhr time signals another reality. If a person has a keen eye, he witnesses this reality which urges a person to kneel and prostrate before the Almighty. The sun, which the naive have regarded as a deity, bows before the Almighty at this time, and through this practice declares that it is a creation and not the creator, a worshipper and not the worshipped. The time of Asr proclaims another reality. For every crest there is a fall, for every zenith there is another, and for every youth there is old age. Nothing is an exception to this rule. There is only one being who is immortal. No one except him lives forever. Just as when the day shone with brightness, then passed through its afternoon, and now stands near its closure, similarly this world was created, will reach its bloom, and shall one day die away. At the time of Asr, it is this silent reminder of the Day of Judgment which urges a person to prostrate before his Lord to seek his mercy and forgiveness. At the time of Maghrib, life enters a new door. This door is similar to the door between life and death and between life and barzakh. The schemer of this world unveils the sign of the night after the sign of the day and the light of the moon after the brightness of the sun. The hectic routine of life starts to cease and the stars come out. The heat and humidity of the day begins to vanish, and the worn-out and fatigued man experiences the coolness of night. The senseless and the naive might not feel this tremendous change, but how can the sane and sensible remain unaware of it? How then is it possible that a person remain indifferent to such a display of power and wisdom by a powerful and wise being? If his heart has any life in it, he would definitely be responsive to this change and bow down before his Creator. The Creator whose might was such that within seconds he transformed the day into night. The time of Isha is the time of accountability. The darkness of night now totally confines activity. A person relishes the rest and comfort of the night so that he can once again be fresh for the next day. This time is the most appropriate for a person to once again remember his Lord before going to bed. This may be his last time and he may never get up after his sleep. Reference Amin Hassan Islahi, Tazkiyah-e-Nafs, 242-243. Rak'ah of the Prayer. The rak'ah of the prayer which have been fixed by the Sharia are Fajr 2, Dhuhr 4, Asr 4, Maghrib 3, Isha 4. These are the obligatory rak'ah of each of these prayers, leaving which a person would be held accountable on the Day of Judgment. Thus they must necessarily be offered, except in cases when qasr has been permitted. All other rak'ah apart from them are optional. They earn great reward for a person, but will not hold him accountable on the Day of Judgment if he does not offer them. Concession in the prayer. If the time of the prayer arrives in dangerous circumstances, the Almighty has allowed a person to pray while on foot or riding in whatever way possible. In these circumstances, it is evident that there shall be no congregational prayer. Facing the Qibla shall not be necessary, and in some situations, it shall not be possible to offer the prayer according to the prescribed method. The Quran says, "Then if you encounter danger, pray on foot or while riding. But when you are safe, remember God in the manner He has taught you, which you did not know." Surah 2, verse 239. If such a situation arises during a journey, the Quran has further said that people can shorten the prayer. In religious practice, this is called qasr. The sunnah established by the Prophet ﷺ in this regard is that the 4 rak'ah prayer shall be shortened to 2. No reduction shall be made in 2 and 3 rak'ah prayers. Consequently, the Fajr and the Maghrib prayers were offered in full in such circumstances. The reason is that while the former already has 2 rak'ah, the latter is considered as the witr of daytime, and this status of the Maghrib prayer cannot be changed. In Surah Nisa, this directive has been revealed in the following words. "And when you travel, there is no offense for you to shorten your prayers if you fear that the disbelievers may put you through some trial, because these disbelievers are your open enemies." Surah 4, verse 101. The concession of shortening the prayer and that of offering it while on foot or while riding are stated in these verses with a condition, if you fear. It is evident from a hadith that on the basis of this condition, the Prophet ﷺ analogously offered the Qasr prayer when there was uneasiness and discomfort while traveling in general. He similarly offered the optional prayer while riding his camel in order to save the caravan from bother. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami'il Sahih 177, number 1104, and Muslim Al-Jami'il Sahih 285, number 1619. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that he deemed it strange for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to offer the Qasr prayer because of uneasiness and discomfort, and therefore he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Upon this he replied, "This is a favor of God upon you, so you should accept it." Reference Muslim al-Jami'il Sahih 279, numbers 1573 and 1574. From this concession granted in the prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also deduced a concession in the times it is offered. And in such journeys, he has led the Muslims in prayer by combining the Dhuhr and Asr prayers together, and the Maghrib and Isha prayers together. It is narrated by Muad ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu that in the journey undertaken by the Prophet ﷺ for the Battle of Tabuk, he would combine the Dhuhr and Asr prayers if the sun would descend before the caravan set off, and if the caravan began its journey before the sun's descent, he would defer the Dhuhr prayer and combine it with Asr prayer. Similar was the case with the Maghrib prayer. If the sun would set before the caravan set off, he would combine the Maghrib and Isha prayers together, and if the caravan set off before sunset, he would pray the Maghrib and Isha prayers together at the time of Isha. Reference Muslim Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 287, number 1631, and Abu Dawud Sunan, volume 2, 7-8, number 1220. A similar situation arose at the time the Prophet ﷺ offered the Hajj. Since in the Hajj, the battle against Satan is symbolized through various rituals, he established the Sunnah in consideration of the symbolism that whether people are residents or outsiders, they shall shorten the prayers at Mina and shorten and combine them at Muzdalifah and Arafah. A subtle reference to this deduction of the Prophet ﷺ that prayers can be combined in such situations is found in the Quran itself. The words of Surah Nisa on which this directive ends, because the prayer is incumbent upon the Muslims at appointed times, require that words like, and pray at the appointed times, or similar to these be understood to be present before them as per the linguistic principles of Arabic. It is evident from this understood expression that besides shortening the prayer, people can also reduce its timings. Consequently, the succeeding words are that once peace is restored, Muslims should pray the full rak'ah and pray at the appointed times, because the prayer is incumbent upon the Muslims at appointed times. In the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ, an important issue was that no Muslim could have tolerated to have been left out from a prayer that the Prophet ﷺ led right in a battlefield. Every soldier desired to pray behind him. Though this was a very natural desire, it was essential that proper arrangements of defense be made in the battlefield. One solution to this problem could have been that the Prophet ﷺ pray four rak'ah and the army be divided into half, with each half praying two rak'ah behind him. At some instances, this solution was adopted as well. Reference Muslim al-Jami' al-Sahih 340, number 1950. However, to save the Prophet ﷺ from difficulty that this way could have created, the Quran suggested another way. The Prophet ﷺ as the prayer leader and all the soldiers should shorten their prayers, and each half of the army should pray one rak'ah each behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and pray the other rak'ah by themselves. Consequently, the first half after completing the first rak'ah, including its prostrations, should retreat and take up the task of defense, and the other half should now stand behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to pray in the Prophet's second rak'ah. The Quran says, "And O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you are among them and stand to lead them in the prayer in a battlefield, then let one group stand behind you such that they are armed with their weapons. Then after making their prostration, let them withdraw to the rear, and then let the other group who have yet to pray come forward and pray with you, and let these also be armed with their weapons. These disbelievers desire that if you even slightly desert your arms and your gear, they attack you united together. But it is no offense for you to put aside your weapons if you are inflicted with heavy rain or are stricken with an illness, though you should still take necessary protection, and you should be certain that God has prepared a humiliating punishment for the disbelievers. So when the prayer you have offered in such a manner ends, remember God standing, sitting, and lying down in whatever circumstances you are in. So when the circumstances become peaceful, offer the full prayer, and for this, pray at the appointed times, for the prayer is incumbent upon the believers at the appointed times. Surah 4 verses 102-103. It is evident from the narratives that various ways were adopted to offer the rak'ah, which each half of the army had to offer on its own as per this directive. At one instance, the Prophet ﷺ waited until those behind him completed their rak'ah and then withdrew. And at another, the army later completed the rak'ah. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 699 number 4129 and 151 number 942 and Muslim Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 339 number 1947 and 338 number 1942. There remains no need to state the details of this because this measure, as is evident from the words, when you are among them, related to the presence of the Prophet ﷺ. After him, neither can the desire to pray behind one prayer leader be as strong nor as important. Today, if there does arise a possibility of congregational prayer in such circumstances, then soldiers can easily pray behind different prayer leaders. The congregational prayer. Although the prayer can be offered alone, yet the sunnah of the religion of the prophets has always been that for the purification of the collectivity, it be offered in congregation, and if possible, in a place of worship. For this very purpose, the Prophet ﷺ built a mosque as soon as he reached Medina, and with this the practice of building mosques in all localities and settlements of Muslims was initiated. These mosques can now be observed all over the world. Islam has not fixed a specific form for their construction, yet Muslims, with a few differences, have generally maintained a uniform structure for them. In the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ, it was essential for all those who heard the adhan to come to the mosque. Later, when the truth had been fully communicated to the people of Arabia by the Prophet ﷺ, and these people became guilty of deliberate denial, and various measures were taken to isolate the Muslims from the hypocrites, a blind person once asked relief from the Prophet ﷺ in coming to the mosque. He was at first given the permission. Then the Prophet ﷺ asked him, "Do you hear the voice of the Adhan?" When he answered in the affirmative, the Prophet ﷺ said that he would then have to come to the mosque. Reference Muslim Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 623 number 1486. On this very occasion, the Prophet ﷺ warned people, "I would like to burn the houses of those who do not come for the prayer, and would like to have them thrown over these people." Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 106 number 644 and Muslim Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 263 number 1481. It is narrated by Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu that even the sick in those times would come to the congregational prayer by limping on the shoulders of two people. Reference Muslim Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 264 number 1488. Obviously, after the departure of the Prophet ﷺ, the directive of coming to the mosques for the congregational prayer is not incumbent upon the Muslims. However, this is a highly rewarded practice earning the blessings of the Almighty. Thus, a Muslim should not deprive himself of this without any valid reason. The narratives ascribed to the Prophet ﷺ in this regard are the following. The congregational prayer is 27 times more rewarding than the individual prayer. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 106 number 645 and Muslim Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 262 number 1477. If people knew how highly rewarding reaching the mosque at the time of the Adhan is, and standing in the first row is, and if for this they had to cast lots, they would have done this. And if they knew the reward of outdoing others for the Dhuhr prayer, they would have done so. And if they knew the reward for the Fajr and Isha prayer, they would have reached the mosque even if they had to drag themselves for this. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 107 number 653 and 654 and Muslim Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 185 number 981. A person who prayed the Isha prayer in congregation is like a person who stood for worship till midnight, and a person who prayed the Fajr prayer in congregation is like a person who spent the whole night standing in worship. Reference Muslim Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 264 number 1491. Women, however, are exempted from this directive. For them the sunnah is that they can come to the mosque for the prayer, but the prayer offered at home is better for them. The Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, Do not stop your women from coming to the mosque, but they should know that it is more appropriate for them to pray at home. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jamil Sahih 140-141, numbers 865 and 873, and Muslim Al-Jamil Sahih 186, number 990. And Ibn Khuzaimah, Sahih, Volume 3, Number 92, Number 1683. Following is the way which has been prescribed by the Sharia for offering the congregational prayer. Before this prayer, the adhan shall be called so that people are able to join the prayer after hearing this call. The words which the Prophet ﷺ has prescribed for the adhan are, God is the greatest. I bear witness that there is no God besides Him. I bear witness that Muhammad is God's messenger. Come towards the prayer. Come towards salvation. God is the greatest. There is no God besides Him. If there is only one follower, he will stand adjacent to the Imam on his right side, and if there are many followers, they shall stand behind him, and he shall stand in the center ahead of them. The Iqamah shall be called before the prayer begins. All the words of the Adhan shall be uttered in it. However, after Hayyal al-Falah, the words Qad Qamat as-Salah shall be said by the person who says the Iqamah. The words of the Adhan and the Iqamah can be repeated more than once for the purpose they are said. This method of the congregational prayer has been given to us through the Ummah's consensus and perpetual adherence. The details of this method, which are mentioned in various narratives, are presented below. The Adhan. According to a dream seen by the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhu, regarding the Adhan mentioned in various narratives, and as per which the Prophet ﷺ directed them to say the Adhan and the Iqamah, the words of the Adhan have been repeated in the following manner. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala falah, Hayya ala falah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. Thus it has been reported that in the times of the Prophet ﷺ, the words of Adhan were generally repeated twice. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jamil Sahih 100-101, number 605, and Muslim Al-Jamil Sahih 161, number 838. Abu Madhura reports that when the Prophet ﷺ taught him the Adhan, he said, you should say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Then repeat, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Then say, Hayyal as-Salah, Hayyal as-Salah, Hayyal al-Falah, Hayyal al-Falah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. He also reports, the Prophet ﷺ asked me to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah and Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, twice in a low tone and twice loudly. He also said that in the Fajr prayer say, As-salatu khayru min an-nawm, As-salatu khayru min an-nawm, or the prayer is better than sleep, after Hayyal al-Falah. It is reported that in times of rain and severe cold, the Prophet ﷺ would ask the pronouncer of the Adhan to say, People, pray at your homes. Similarly, it has also been narrated that in order to raise the voice and transmit it around, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu would insert his fingers into his ears and turn his face right and left. Uthman ibn al-As says, When I asked the Prophet ﷺ to grant me permission to lead the prayers, he said, Appoint that person as the muadhin who does not charge money for saying the adhan. Reference Abu Dawud Sunan Volume 1, 143-144, number 531. In response to the adhan, the Prophet ﷺ urged Muslims to repeat the words of the muadhin and to send blessings on the Prophet ﷺ. He also asked Muslims, Pray for me that I be granted the place of nearness in paradise, because this is a place in paradise which has been reserved for just one servant of the Almighty, and I hope that I would be that one person. So whoever will pray for this will deserve my intercession. Reference Muslim Al-Jamil Sahih 163, number 849. In a narrative attributed to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is further explained that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directed Muslims to respond to the words Hayya al-Salah and Hayya al-Falah, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, or strength and power are only from God, and said that a person who responded in this manner from the depth of his heart has glad tidings of paradise. Reference Ibid 163, number 850. The supplications which are attributed to the Prophet ﷺ after the Adhan are the following. O Lord of this complete call and of the prayer which stands as its result, bless Muhammad and grant him a rank of nearness, and raise him up on the Day of Judgment in a manner that he earns the praise of the people, something which you had promised him. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami Al-Sahih 102, number 614. I bear witness that there is no Lord except God. He is the one of his kind and no one is his partner. I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. I am happy and content that Allah is my Lord and that Muhammad is his messenger and that Islam is my religion. Reference Muslim Al-Jami Al-Sahih 163, number 851. About the first supplication, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said, whoever vigilantly said it will deserve my intercession. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami Al-Sahih 102, number 614. About the second one, he has said, the sins of the person who says it will be forgiven. Reference Muslim Al-Jami Al-Sahih 163, number 851. The Iqamah. The words of the Iqamah were generally said only once. The words of the Iqamah which have been narrated in the dream of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhu referred to above are Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, qad qamat as-salah, qad qamat as-salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. Abu Madhura says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught him the following 17 expressions. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah. Hayya ala falah, hayya ala falah. Qad qamat as-salah, qad qamat as-salah. Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. The Imam. The prayer can be offered behind every Muslim whether he is pious or impious. However, if it is possible to select an Imam or prayer leader, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that this responsibility should be given to the person who reads the Quran the most. Then if all the people among whom the selection is to be made are equal as far as reading the Quran is concerned, then the one who is the most aware of the Sunnah should be selected, and if in this aspect too, the concerned individuals are equal, then the person who is the first to migrate, and if in this aspect too they are equal, then the person who is the eldest. He further said that a person should not lead the prayer when he goes to the place of some other prayer leader. In such a case, he should pray behind that prayer leader. Reference Muslim Al-Jami Al-Sahih 271, number 1532. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that a prayer leader should not prolong the prayer because there can be sick people behind him and the weak and the elderly. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami Al-Sahih 115, number 703 and Muslim Al-Jami Al-Sahih 195, number 1046. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports, I have never seen anyone offer the prayer lightly and yet in a thorough manner than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such was his concern that he would shorten the prayer if he heard a child crying, thinking that his mother would be apprehensive for him. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami Al-Sahih 116, number 709, and Muslim Al-Jami Al-Sahih 196, number 1056. A prayer leader should straighten the rows of the prayer with great care and vigilance. Numan ibn Bashir said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would straighten our rows of the prayer as if he would be straightening arrows from them. Reference Muslim Al-Jami Al-Sahih 185, number 979. The followers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has directed those who stand in prayer behind a prayer leader to not supersede him. Rather, they should say the takbir after him. They should say Rabbana walakal hamd, our Lord, and all gratitude is for you, after he has recited Sami'allahu liman hamida, God heard him who expressed his gratitude to him, and follow this procedure in all practices of the prayer. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned to us after the prayer and said, O people, I am your prayer leader. Do not supersede me in the ruku, or the prostration, or while standing straight in the prayer, or while ending the prayer. He similarly emphasized that the rows of the prayer should be kept straight, the shoulders should be in line, and there should be no space in between, and people should stand right adjacent to one another. The mentally mature should stand ahead, then those who are younger to them, and then those who are even younger. The first row of the congregational prayer shall first be filled, then the second and then the third. Keeping the rows straight has been regarded by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an essential for the prayer. He is reported to have said, O people, be gentle with your brothers and do not leave spaces for Satan in between the rows, and remember he who endeavored to unite a row, the Almighty will unite him with others, and he who broke a row, the Almighty will break his relation with people. He similarly said, make rows like the angels do. They stand close to one another before the Almighty and complete the front rows first. One should try to reach the first row. Narratives relate the blessings of praying in the first row. However, if at times a person is not able to reach on time, he should walk with calmness and dignity. Whatever congregational prayer remains, he should offer it in congregation and then complete the remaining himself. The rows for the prayer should be made at the arrival of the prayer leader. In the rows reserved for women, if there is just one woman, she can also stand alone. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led a prayer such that two men stood in the front row and Sulaim stood alone in the row behind.